Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to worship you and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself in this moment. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. So I shared some time ago about one of my experiences growing up with the wonderful movie, The Wizard of Oz. If you remember the premise of the movie, Dorothy lived on her aunt and uncle's farm in Kansas. Her dog Toto had caused a problem with this mean lady. I know no one here is mean, but you know what a mean person is like. So Dorothy and Toto were going to run away from home, and then the tornado came. When this tornado came by, it took the home to a place called Oz. And while she was in Oz, the thing she wanted most was what? To go home, to find her way home. Now, I related how my dad doubly scared my siblings and I when we first saw this movie, when the Wicked Witch of the West first appeared in the movie, which was scary enough, and then he goes, ah, and we all jumped. Do you think I did that to my kids?
Yes.
Yeah. That was certainly a scary moment for me as a kid, and it made an unforgettable memory, as if it were yesterday. Yet there were several other scary parts in the movie. What might have been one for you? What might have been a scary moment for you in that movie? The monkeys. Oh, they are terribly scary. Anything else?
The Great Wizard.
Thank you. The Great Wizard. Remember the wizard, the fire and the smoke? Oh. Any other moment in the movie that might have been scary? Lions and tigers and bears. Well, some remember, Michelle. Yes, there was the witch appearing, and the witch appeared in, at the Munchkin, right at the Yellow Brick Road when her sister was killed by the house. And then along in the wood, she appeared on a house and scared us again. And then, of course, the Wizard of Oz in the Emerald City. When they first got there, the Wizard of Oz told them to kill the Wicked Witch and bring back her broom, which you thought was an impossible task. And yet, who can forget the flying monkeys? Dun, 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 dun. Oh, no, that's the witch. What's the monkey tune? All right, don't worry about it. And when Dorothy and her friends were finally trapped in the tower, surrounded by the guards, the witch's guards and soldiers, and the witch was there in front of her and reaches up with her broom and gets what? Fire, and sets the scarecrow on fire. Wasn't that a scary moment? But there was one more, probably the scariest moment as an adult. And it was near the end of the movie, and it was this. You see, she was finally about to go home with the wizard in his hot air balloon. Do you remember this? And what happened? Toto chases a cat. Dorothy gets out of the gondola to get Toto. The people holding on to the lines let it slip, and the balloon is launched in the air without Dorothy. That was a scary moment. You see, the balloon was to be the final sign of her going home. However, Dorothy finally learns that she had the power all along to go home by just clicking her ruby red shoes heels 3 times and saying,
"There's no place like home."
What a story. And what an end. Dorothy finally finds her way back home, and she's with her family once again. It is the perfect ending. As we have been journeying through the Bible, we've seen God creating a world and creating people to be in relationship with them. And in the beginning, home was with God. However, people's propensity to do acts of selfishness and disobedience ruin God's original plan. Eventually, people become wicked all the time, Scripture says, until the world becomes evil in God's eyes and God decides He's going to start over the flood. Eventually, selecting a man, Abraham and his wife Sarah, to create a nation of people who would be set apart to worship God and to be in relationship with God. And through this nation, other people would learn about this one true living God. And through this nation, other people would come to know and begin a relationship with God. Of course, this is not how the story goes. God continues to lead these people and saves these people. And sometimes they follow God and sometimes they don't. They ask for a king because they want to be like the other nations, even though God is their king. And the third king that God appoints to lead Israel begins to worship false gods and idols. So God breaks the kingdom in two, the north and the south. The northern kingdom, it never comes back to God, forsaking God for idols, and eventually is taken into captivity by Assyria and is scattered within the Assyrian nation. They're called the 10 lost tribes of Israel. The southern kingdom is better in their relationship with God, but not by much. And finally, because of their idolatry, God has them overthrown by Babylon, who utterly destroys Jerusalem and the temple, his home, their home. It's utterly gone. And many people, those who remain alive, are taken back to Babylon, and the very poorest of the poor remain in Judah to care for the land. We could see it hasn't always been a great story for the people who were taken into Babylon, yet God remained faithful to this sometimes faithless nation because of those who continued to believe in God and to worship God. Of course, Babylon eventually gets overthrown by the Persian Empire almost 50 years later. And the people have been away from the city of God for a long time. They have been away from their true home. They have not experienced freedom, but they're in captivity again. Now, in today's scripture, the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, it says that the Lord moved his heart, the heart of Cyrus, to make a proclamation throughout his realm. Let's read that proclamation. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. You see, God has a plan. God has a plan and has moved in this king's heart to fulfill the promise that he made that one day a remnant of Jerusalem would return back to the promised land, their home. Maybe this was the first signal or the sign that they were returning home. So nearly 50,000 people head back to Jerusalem on a nearly 800-mile journey, but still, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. Now, God has a plan for Judah then, as God has a plan for us today. A general plan and a specific plan. A general plan and a specific plan. The general plan might be found in something like this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. This general plan includes things like following Jesus, being an active disciple of Jesus, regularly worshiping God, giving back to God through your talents and abilities, and helping to bring the kingdom of God on earth so that others who are lost, who are far from home, can be brought home. You see, the specific plan, different from the general plan of God, would be more along the lines of what God wants specifically for you to do in regard to the general plan. Because of your gifting, there will be a part that you can do in that general plan better than maybe some other people. And God calls you specifically to do that depending upon your talents and your skills and your gifts. Now for Judah, at this time, God's general plan was to come back to Jerusalem, their home. And the specific plan was to rebuild God's temple, rebuild God's home, and begin to be the nation, the family of God that they were intended to be using their specific gifts and abilities. Now, when they got back to Jerusalem, they began to build God's house first, God's home, the temple. I don't know about you, but when the word home is used, it's one of those words that can be understood in different ways. You see, home can be a physical structure in which we live, which is what God wanted them to build, this temple. But a home could also be understood as a family unit, a physical family unit. Yet, even though we're all born into a family, for some it really doesn't seem like any family we want to be a part of. Parents are missing either physically or emotionally, and love, acceptance, and understanding are just not found. For the people of Judah, family is found first and foremost because they are the children of God. Those who believe in God and put their trust in God are a family, which is the same as us gathered here this morning. We are a family. We come together as the children of God, the family of God, and worship God together. A place where we can find love, acceptance, and understanding from God and from each other. You see, that's God's intent. Love, acceptance, understanding. Doesn't that sound nice? Did you know all people look for this kind of family? A family with love, acceptance, and understanding. Everybody is searching for it. When Dorothy was searching for a way home, she found the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion, and they became what? Her family. And I believe this is a major part of what makes up a good family, a home. And God knows this, for God created us to be in a loving, accepting, and understanding environment. A people of love, acceptance, and understanding, living with a God of love, acceptance, and understanding. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. For Judah, what makes Jerusalem central to the faith is the temple. And as you might expect, when Judah gets back to Jerusalem, the first thing they do is to begin fixing God's home. Building the altar of God to begin sacrifices of burnt offerings as it is laid out in Moses' law. And then laying a foundation for the temple, the holy place of God. Again, it's the purpose for the presence of God and the worship of God. And when they laid the foundation, it says some of the older people who remembered the first temple wept because they were almost home. And as Judah faithfully serves God, others will hear and want to become a part of this nation. They will want to become grafted into the faith and begin to declare the praises of God. There is no better place than the home of God. There is no better place than to be home with God. It's also during this time for the nation of Israel that God begins again to remind the people that something important is also going to happen. The Lord begins to speak to Judah through the prophet Zechariah. When opposition comes to Jerusalem from these people outside, from Samaria, it causes the building of the temple to stall. At first, Zechariah begins to encourage the people to begin rebuilding the temple after a number of years, the home of God. And they do so, so that they could celebrate God once more, so they could be once more that family. But then there's more. Zechariah speaks about another king, a coming king. Read it with me. Well, right here. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Who does that remind you of?
Jesus.
It goes on to say this. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Of course, the king is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited one, the king that these people would follow, not just God from a temple, but God taking on flesh and blood and being born into the form of a man who would love, who would accept us and understand us, who would proclaim peace and set the captives free. But as you can see, this last part about the prophecy speaks about the rule of Christ extending from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. I wonder, where is your home? Where is your true family? Is it located on a house, on a street somewhere within this area? Is that the home that God is referring to? Friends, we need to be reminded that there is only one true home, and that is with God in heaven. The only place of true peace and joy, of love and acceptance, of true understanding. We know we're nearing home when we first accept Jesus. It's one of those signs that says, I'm on my journey. I'm on my way home. And the Savior is actively working on helping to bring the kingdom of God to earth through us. You see, people raised in good families or non-existent families are searching for a place that they can belong to, a place they can call family. And families don't necessarily have to be flesh and blood. For instance, in school, you may have grown up with a group of kids and they became like a small family. Sports teams can create a family atmosphere. Many young girls and boys can become disenfranchised with life, disenfranchised with their families, and become maybe even part of a gang, which can provide a family for them. They're willing to do evil to be a part of a family. The pull is that strong. And so when you see others, realize in your head, they're looking for family. They want to belong. But where is home, our true home? And what makes up our family, our true family? You see, like the Wizard of Oz, I'm concerned that too many people are not even on a journey toward God. They believe they are already home here on earth, but in fact they're lost, enslaved in a world without God. Like Dorothy, she received help from friends. She met on her journey to find home. They walked with her. They gave her wise advice, even though she was the one who made her decisions. You see, we too need to help those who don't know their home yet, who aren't even walking the yellow brick road toward heaven. Those people who are lost, who are disenfranchised, who feel that they don't belong. And there are a lot of people in this world who feel for one reason or another that they just don't belong. They don't experience love. They don't experience acceptance or understanding. But the desire for that burns deep in their soul. And here God says, go out. Bring my kingdom here. Establish it on earth. Find those who are disenfranchised. who need to be loved, love them. Who need to be accepted right where they're at, just like I accept you right where you are at. Accept them. Look beyond what they're doing and see that there is a person created in the image of God who needs God and who is probably desperately seeking God, filling their life with so many things in place of God. I wonder who is it that God is bringing into your life or maybe recently has brought into your life that needs love, that needs unconditional love, that needs to be accepted, that needs a little understanding or needs to be understood. Even if it's right or no matter whether it's right or wrong, they still need to be understood. And then how is God gently nudging you to nudge them to think about what and where their true home is? What can you do? What could you say to somebody? I think first it starts off with love. It starts off with accepting them and seeking to understand where they're at. Because I tell you, most people don't feel understood. And that just creates a wall that is very hard for anyone to get through. But as soon as somebody feels loved and accepted and understood, the wall begins to crumble brick by brick. And they find that this is a safe person to be with. This is a safe person to maybe explore where home is or what my family is. This week I challenge you to look at those who are around you, not just as people, but as people who are created in the image of God. And then to treat them as such. There are people who are hurting. There are people who are angry. There's a lady in a car next to me shaking her fist. I really didn't mean to cut her off. But there are people who are angry and hurting. And they need the one true family of God, you here, to begin to walk with them, to help guide them on their journey toward God. What will you say? What will you do this week? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to live out our days, Lord, that you would show us those who are still in captivity, like the Hebrew people when they were down in Egypt, who are enslaved, whose lives are revolving not around you, but around the world. God, that you would help us to guide them like the scarecrow and the tin man and the lion to journey with those who are seeking home. And Father, we pray that you would give us wisdom, that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide and direct us and give us the words to say, the actions to take, so that others will come to know you. Lord, may your glory shine in our lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.